Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3, testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, we're recording, we're live, welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in. Yeah, it's only been 3 days since my last transmission. I know it's soon, but I did kind of hint at it at the end of summer. I was like, guys, don't get, you know, it's not going to be every 7 days. Going to just try to take the mic as much as possible. I have like a few, I have like, honestly, like two topics. One's pretty dense. It's called K-pop. K stands for Korea. I'm going to delve into that. I know it's a bit random and unexpected. And I have a lot of questions, so I'm like finally going to get to them. So I think that this will just be a, you know, return to form. Who knows? What the f- who cares? Who cares? I'm in the mood to record, so that's like, that's what the pod is. Okay. Let's just start off. A bit of a somber note. I want to say RIP to the artist D'Angelo. Died at the age of 51 from pancreatic cancer. That is so young. And he looked healthy too. Like, god damn, life is just really fragile and scary. Music, incredible. I would always play the song Lady. That was on my one of my recent playlists. You know, he's just a modern, a great, I'd call him a great, capital G. R.E.P. D'Angelo. I'm kind of, I haven't like taken the time to get back into his discography, but I have in the past, and because I'm excited to do so. I feel like he put out like three perfect albums, which like, god bless his heart. That's more than a lot of people have ever done. So at least he left this earth with huge contribution. So again, R.E.P. D'Angelo. Well, not to like switch gears too drastically. A bit of a brighter note, I did attend a fun little event with some close friends called my friend Molly's Baby Shower at a place on St. Mark's called, like, I didn't write it down, it's called, like, Woody Tongue or something. It's a random name. It's a Tokyo pizza place. But it was, you know, closed, private event. You know, Antonio, Rachel, Paul, Russian Dennis, Zach, Charlotte, Darren, and, of course, Molly and Christian. They also got engaged. They're the people that own the house that we go to on the 4th of July. So, like, we're, like, kind of a tight crew now. It's really cute. I had a kind of perfect evening. You know, we had some pizza. Open bar, of course. I didn't get too crazy, but I had, like, four drinks. There was a woman who looked like, I don't remember her name. She was from Real Housewives of Dallas. She was the woman who, like, very tall, blonde, she like tried to sell like pink dog food. I swore it was her for a while. I'm like, that's her. I don't think it was, but it looked, I mean, I've never seen anyone look more like a Real Housewife than this woman. I mean, she really stood out. She had like, you know, she was very tall, had this like jacket, like a big fur collar, straight blonde. I mean, it's like the kind of blonde that I'm like, you don't really see in New York. Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, the night kind of, you know, wraps up close to like 9 p.m. I want to head back to Greenpoint. I'm with Antonio and Rachel, and they're like, oh, do you want to get a car? I'm like, honestly, like, I just need to, like, get some steps in and, like, walk, you know, because we're on, like, St. Mark's and, like, Avenue A. I'm like, well, let me look at how many steps I've done recently. I'm going to read them to you guys. It's, like, so completely shocking and embarrassing. Let me start it. Let's just say October 8th, okay, 1923, 2900, 1700, 4600, 3600, wait, it skipped to today, 2000, okay, 1305, okay, you get the vibe, but it's like, I'm not really walking a lot. I was like, you know what, let me pop into Nowhere Bar. I'll have a beer there. Then I'll get on the L train. So I go to Nowhere Bar. I get, you know what I love about like certain, I love this about Boiler Room too. They have these like tall circle tables with like a bar stool in the middle of the bar. There's like a few of them. So you can be like in the middle of the mix. You're not sitting at the bar. You can't really see anyone. But you can still like, you know, I like to have a good kind of eagle's eye view of everyone kind of dipping and doing it. Had a beer. Yeah, you know, it was kind of early too. I was like, wait, it's like 9 o'clock-ish? I'm like, wait, it's like, my god, it's been dark for hours. I'm like, fuck, like, I thought it was like 11 o'clock. So I get on the train, And like, they pop into Oberon, the new gay bar that's on like Driggs and like North 10th, kitty corner from Fushimi, that like huge sushi restaurant that like no one's ever in, but it's like absolutely popping to, like, it looks like a nightclub. I'm one of like three people at the bar Oberon, and like, I'm just like, God damn it. Like, I'm living a ghost town. I guess I could have gone to like Exley or Animal, but it wasn't on the way home enough. And as you can tell, I really don't like to get steps in. So it's got to be convenient. I have no energy really to do anything. So, you know, this is kind of a, even this was a shock. I was like, wow, I'm like, I'm out. A guy did ask me for a cigarette. He's like, I'll give you $1. And normally I'm like, eh, don't bother. But he had the dollar in his hand. I'm like, okay. And kind of a weird older guy, but we had like a nice little conversation about just like cigarettes and stuff. But he was like, not impeding. I was like, okay, that's different. Normally it's just like you give someone a cigarette and they're like, oh, it's American Spirit, what the fuck. I'm like, it's free, bitch, like, shut the fuck up. I'll give it back. Just give it back, please. Anywho, I do want to randomly talk about the Victoria's Secret fashion show. I've never watched it live. I've actually never seen it before in my life, I don't think. I only watch because Adam Selman is the new creative executive director, and I like his designs and he's extremely talented and like just gets it. Also, randomly, I met him like on a photo shoot. One of my first like gigs in New York, this is like truly 2011. I was a like second photo assistant to, I think my friend, well, I don't, he unfollowed, a friend of mine that I don't think likes me anymore. Hire me to be his like second assistant. Anyways, it was Neil Krug photographing the Scissor Sisters. Neil Krug, the photographer, he worked with Lana Del Rey a lot. A lot of like Polaroid stuff, kind of like, you know, like light flare, light leak, you know, analog, whatever. But Adam Selman was the stylist, and you know, I was like 23. You can even imagine. I was young, thin, full head of hair, eager. I had a lot more life in my eyes. And I was like dressing like really cool at the time. Not cool, but like the same I dress now, but just things fit me better. I had like a pair of like these like amazing high-waisted Levi's that I got at a vintage store, and just like a button-up and like a Lacoste cardigan. And Adam Selman was like, oh my God, like, I love your jeans. They look really good on you. And I was like, ugh, because he's like so cute too. And he was, of course, wearing like basically the same jeans. They're like tailored and like he looked perfect, you know. Anyways, day goes by. We don't really talk that much. When we see each other around, you know, and we're in like the same big room. I think I'm like helping like push like a rack out in the hallway or something. And like, I don't even, you know what? I don't think I even asked for his name. I think I just like found it on the call sheet. Then I added him on Facebook and then I DM'd him and I was like, by the way, this is so long ago. It was like Adam Selman, Facebook. It was like in a relationship with Mel Ottenberg. I didn't know who Mel Ottenberg was. And so anyways, I wasn't trying to be like flirtatious really. I was just like, hey Adam, like, you know, nice to meet you today. I'm new to the city. I'm wondering if you have any like vintage store recommendations, anything like that, you know, nice to meet you, etc. And then somehow I like accidentally friended Mel Ottenberg on Facebook and I was like, oh no, I'm like a homewrecker. I think I unsent the request, but I was still kind of like, what am I doing? I generally think my hand like slipped or something. Anyways, Adam never responded to me because it is, I guess, I don't even think that's that weird of a message to send, but you know, he's busy. He wasn't as much of like a household name back then, but clearly he's like working and like that's his, you know, legacy, etc. But anyways, seemed like a great guy, very nice guy. So I tuned into the Victoria's Secret fashion show. I watched some of the pink carpet. Lal Roach was like the host mostly. He's not great at talking to people because he's like kind of like sinister and like not like he was interviewing like Amy Sedaris and you know she's very funny and he wasn't like trying to bring the funny out of her. He was trying to like be more funny than her and he's like not as funny as her. Or they're a different kind of funny. He's just kept saying this like same joke over and over again. He's like, oh, so you're here because you're like a Nepo baby. Like you're a Nepo baby because like you're friends with Adam Selman. She's like, yeah, yeah, I guess I'm a Nepo. She's like 60 years old. Like she's not, like, don't call her a baby. She's like a fucking grown ass woman. It was strange. And, you know, he kept kind of like, the joke never landed. And she didn't like, you know, she took him the chin. It's like not offensive or anything. But, you know, he just doesn't have the gift of gab with like, I think connecting with people because he does. He has like a kind of like Dr. Wendy Osefo thing where it's like he's on a different stratosphere and a different plane than like most civilians. So it's not really, I don't think it's that easy for him to connect to people and like get anything that real out of them. I mean, I'd be intimidated interviewing Amy Sedaris too because I'm like, fuck, like you're too funny. You're too funny for me to talk to. Anyhow. Pink carpet ends, then it's like kind of a, there's kind of a long wait. It was like show airing soon and it's like truly like 15, it's like it was a little late, but I don't care. I mean, what else do I have to fucking do? I'm glad because I ran next door to get pizza and I came back and there was like 7 minutes on the clock. I'm like, fuck, I have to go right now. And I came back and then it was like the kind of waiting screen. I'm like, okay, wait, period. Again, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying. And it's like lights, camera, angels. I'm like, wait, I'm excited. Randomly, I find myself to be excited about the Victoria's Secret fashion show. Don't know what I'm really getting into. I'm like, it's going to be a runway. And then like, I knew Missy Elliott was going to be performing. That's basically why I tuned into it because as you know, Missy Elliott is like, I think like the greatest living artist besides Mariah Carey. And like Madonna and Lana and Gaga. There's others, but there's not that many. Honestly, there's not that many. Madison Beer performed. I've heard of her. I've like maybe heard snippets. Friends about Naomi Fry informed me that Madison Beer is Jewish. Sound off the, I mean, not that, of course, it doesn't matter to me. I'm just like, I did not have that on my, we'll say 2020 bingo card. She's like too hot to be a pop star because she's like, she looks like a Victoria's Secret angel. And the music was like, it was kind of like heavy. Like, I don't know the difference between like techno and house music anymore. Like I thought I did for a while. And now I'm like, I don't know. I was like not clutching my pearls, but it was sexy. It's like, oh my God, this girl's like too hot to be famous because like, she's not going to have an odd, like no one's going to relate to her. Like, by the way, the audience for like pop music, it's like 8-year-old girls. So it's like they're gonna be like, what the like, no, you have to look like Lord, or you have to look like an old witch. Sorry, you can't really be too unattainable. I don't know if Madison Beer had like a nose job. Whatever. Okay, anyways, guys, it's fine. I was like maybe I should get into Madison Beer a little bit. I kind of was slightly astounded, I'll say. There was a K-pop girl group. By the way, as I said, we're going to get into K-pop heavy in shortly, quite frankly. I don't know. They didn't say their name. It might be Blackpink. It might be NewJeans. Those are the only two K-pop, a group that I've ever really heard of. I'm sure it's one of them. It'd be smart if it was Blackpink because like pink is part of like the Victoria's Secret brand and like one of them had like a skirt that like pink on it and I'm like, well, that's, it was like a black skirt that said pink on it and pink letters. I'm like, well, that is Blackpink, so you know, job well done. Anyways, then you know, of course, the model, they're strutting their stuff on the runway. The models, they're mostly thin. It's kind of happy to see that. Then of course you had like Ashley Graham and some other chicks that are like thick but not, you know, there's only like a gut. They still had like flat stomachs somehow. I don't even get it. They're like kind of anomalies as the way, same way that like really tall, thin models are. So it's like kind of the same thing, really. Bella Hadid looked as orange as like Donald Trump, in contrast to like Gigi walked too, and she was like, Pal's a ghost. I'm like, how? Okay, you're like the same, like virtually twins. Didn't really quite get that. I guess Bella was able to make it off her Lyme's deathbed from a week ago. I mean, these things with chronic illnesses, you know, they flare up, they flare down. You're able to do the runway show. Happy for everyone, quite frankly. Carol G performed. She was bringing some Latina heat to the stage. That was when, like, the show was, like, red. A lot of red looks. That was fun. I don't really know. She seems like she's probably really popular. All the music actually sounded, even, like, the K-pop. I fucking hate K-pop so much. And, again, we're going to get into that almost immediately. It sounded like good. It sounded like perfect for this environment. Not necessarily something I would listen to on my own volition, but as you know, I was like along for the ride. I was like, yeah, this is like fun. This is fun. This is sexy and cool. It was just like different. It was like very random for me to watch because I've never seen anything like it because I've never watched the show before. And I just needed something. I need like a little pick me up. I've been very miserable lately, I'll be honest. The weather change. It's just like my life's going nowhere. There's other circumstances I can't get into. But it was, you know, I think it did what it had to do. I think they should do that as like the Super Bowl halftime show. There should be someone should perform. It should be like that. Should be the Victoria's Secret fashion show should just be like the Super Bowl halftime show. And have like maybe one performer or, you know, maybe even a couple. Cause you know, they had like J-Lo and Shakira, they like shared it a few years ago, which I thought was great, but you know, J-Lo was fucking pissed. Also Shakira's like internationally, like so well known and like massively successful, maybe not so much in America these days, but, she still got it. So I was like, why do they make them? That's weird to share. It's weird to share. Missy Elliott finally takes the stage. She's these like cool, like these dancers in like these silver, like gray, kind of like latex-y body suits, like head to toe, just like no face. They were dancing. It looked so funny and cool. Like she, very futuristic. Classic Missy Elliott. She's always so ahead of the game. I love her so much. It just like, I don't know. She tore it fucking crazy. Just like the medley of songs, it just makes you really realize how in her own lane. There's absolutely no one you can compare Missy Elliott to. And that music that like she was performing is like 20 years old, and right now it sounds fresh as ever and like spectacular and different and odd, but also like you just get in your body and like you just don't even have to like, it's so, she puts you in a place that like it's virtually impossible for an artist to do on her level. Like it just really, you're like, oh, music makes you lose control. Her music makes you lose control, and it's like a gift. And like, oh, I can't say enough. Anyways, and it sounds like it's like 20, 30, 40 years ahead of time still, and it's 20 years old. So, you know, clock that type of tea. Love you, Missy, if you're listening. Thank you for everything you've done. I don't know, again, there's more models, they're strutting their stuff on the runway, and then eventually they all come back out wearing the wings and all this shit, and they play Mariah Carey, I think it's Fantasy, yeah, sweet, sweet fantasy, and then it like rains, you know, confetti and glitter, all this shit, and I kind of got emotional, not because of like Victoria's Secret, just because I love Mariah Carey so much. I think her new album is like a great success in my mind. And hearing that song just end the show. It's like they really, the whoever curated the music was like doing a fantastic job. Because the song Fantasy is just like, it's so exuberant. It's also perfect for this show, you know, Fantasy. It really takes you to another place where dreams are maybe real. You're not thinking about your fucking shitty life where you're fat and poor. You get to escape. God bless the Victoria's Secret fashion show. Oh, I also hate it deeply. It's vulgar. But you know what? It's kind of like, it's showy. It's showy. Like, well, America's cool because we have this. I think it's cool that we have this. Like, Canada couldn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, Canada could not do that. You know, they would be like just ugly, annoying people. Oh my God. Sorry. Actually, it'd be cool if it was kind of like Justin Trudeau and like every form of blackface he's ever done. Like, bring that back. Get the Starbucks baristas. Actually, you know what should really happen? Like, who I wish closed the Victoria's Secret fashion show is like, if Jeffree Star came out like in like a, you know, bra and panty, tucked. I don't want to see that thing flopping around. But if Jeffree Star, you know, the devil sent from hell himself, Jeffree Star came out at the end of the Victoria's Secret fashion show, that would be such a serve. And like, he would, I mean, can you imagine in that lighting? He would look better than everyone. Like, he just really is like a, you know, incomparable kind of person. There's no one like Jeffree Star. It's like, he just looks like a skull covered in random ass tattoos. Scary, scary man, but like pink. His whole thing is pink. He's like the, oh God. Yeah. He is a Victoria's Secret angel. They'll never do it, of course, but it might be nice. I would like to see that. Okay. Okay. So now it's time for like the kind of impetus for this episode. Best friend of the pod, Nomi Fry, suggested I watch this show on Netflix that I think probably aired like 2 years ago that I think I heard of, but you know, it's K-pop related. So I was like, this is the mark of the devil. I will never watch it. But she was like, you know, I explicitly trust her taste. So I was like, okay, let me just give this a shot. It's called Pop Star Academy, Cat's Eye, K-A-T-S-E-Y-E. So if you're listening now in the year 2025, this girl group has been formed. They have like hundreds of millions built, you know, they have streams, they're solidified. Okay. But I think they filmed this back in like 2021, 2022, Netflix show, kind of like Making Da Band style, but it's like way more intense and like harrowing because these girls are like from the age of like 14 to 20. I think the oldest girl is like 20. So these are like children and they like have to leave their families, live in LA, in a house. If they're, well, okay. What they present as like, if they're over 18, they can live in the house. If they're under 18, they have to live nearby with a guardian, but they're in the house filming. They're not even like really filming it as like, they're not like getting to know, you're not seeing a lot of their like day in, day out stuff. Cause it's filmed over a long period of time. So, you know, like by episode, there's 8 episodes. By episode 4, they're like, so we've been in this house for a year. I'm like, oh my God. And this girl's like, I had to drop out of high school to come be here. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like kind of weird. Like, I didn't know you like still did this shit. It's kind of giving Dance Moms and like, what's like the worst thing? Like the Third Reich. Like, it's so crazy. The Korean guy who formed BTS, the boy band group BTS, which is like, you know, hugely successful. He's now trying to find a girl group, but I think the intention is to like have it be like kind of American based and not in the Asian market entirely. I mean, a lot of Americans like K-pop music and stuff and they entertain it, but it's also like it's easier to enter it if there's like a few American girls also. So what ended up happening is, and I would actually, even though I wanted to spoil, I couldn't. I did kind of look today after watching 6 episodes of the 8 to see who kind of made it. And I can't tell you any of their names. I don't know their names. There's so many. It starts off with like, you know, there's like, it was like either 14,000 or like 140,000 submissions. They get it down to like, I think like 20 that live in the house. Etc. And they're training constantly, all day, every day, singing, dancing. I mean, you can kind of imagine. I was kind of immediately repulsed because I'm like, these kids, they have a lot of potential. They're like, you know, you know, they're brilliant little artists themselves, but they kind of beat them. I mean, they're making them the best versions of themselves they can be, but the best version is like to be like a, like, it's like a militia. It's not a real artist. It's like, they're not writing these songs. They're not performing their own songs. They're like performing other people's songs. So it's like kind of, I find absolutely harrowing. It's the like complete opposite of DIY. There's nothing freak folk about it. I feel like there's probably so many like subliminal messages about just like shopping at Zara up in there. Like, you know, what happened? We revere the singer songwriter when it's like Taylor Swift, but we just had room for like one. And Lana kind of, but like she was really up against, like the odds were stacked against Lana because like they're like, oh, you're a whore. Taylor's like, I'm a perfect little good girl. And like, she is very talented. Don't get me wrong. But maybe there is like a, I mean, because Billie Eilish seems like a singer songwriter. Lorde does too. Okay, maybe there is room for that. But in this sphere of like pop music, it's like, it's for children. It's not for adults. I felt wrong even kind of watching it. It is weird to watch these girls perform in a room, like a dance studio with like 20 music executives watching them. There's a guy who just only, he's kind of like a, I think he's like the head of like the record label, which is like Hybe, H-Y-B-E. That's also like Geffen Records. So it's like Hybe and Geffen Records trying to create like the perfect girl group for America, for like the young girls in the like TikTok generation. And you know, you can imagine this is what happens, but like, I didn't realize it was like a year long boot camp. And it's not even just that. It's not like they just pick these girls and then like they weed them out. It's like after like 8 months, they'll like introduce, you know, they'll be like, we're not getting what we need from these girls. They're still not hitting the moves the right way. Their vocals are still not in the right place. After they work like 7 days a week. They introduce like a new girl that like someone will find on like Instagram or TikTok. Like they found this like really beautiful. I mean, she's like gorgeous. I was like, as soon as they found her, I'm like, she's in the fucking group. She's like beautiful young black girl. I think she's like maybe 17 from like Switzerland. And she can't really dance. She can kind of sing. But I'm like, she just is like magnetic and like captivating, like looks great on camera. I'm like, well, they're going to pick her. And then like, she's the only person that like the girls, and it's like very, the diversity, the race, it's like all over the fucking place. So, but they're all kind of like, wait, this girl like doesn't even like show up to rehearsal that often, but she's like going to definitely make it because the fans like her. The fans like get to vote. So after like a year, here's what's crazy about this. After a year, it becomes, and they didn't know this signing up for this, which is what's really fucked up. I have not finished the show, but after episode 6 of 8, it like these producers are like, they're like my age. They're kind of like LA people. They're like, they don't even dress that well. They're just always like kind of like in like, kind of like Yeezy-esque adjacent clothes, like just like sweatshirts and kind of stuff. But they clearly have a career and they know what they're talking about. But they're the ones like kind of dictating everything. And, they're like, so we didn't want to tell them there's also going to be it's a Survivor type style reality show at the end of this. So it's not just like they get through this like boot camp of a year. They have to like now go into this like, oh my God, it's so bizarre. I can't believe like no one, I've never seen anyone talk about this on Twitter, Instagram. I mean, maybe on TikTok, I'm not on it, but like what had happened was like, so they get down to like 20 people again. I mean, there's like more people introduced, you know, it gets down to about 20 and then the 20 is solidified and they like give them like all a makeover, 20 young girls a makeover. They put them in these like kind of like gray, kind of Tom Brown-esque, like little girl, like school, like school girl outfits. They introduce them to the public and then you kind of like get to vote on who you like the most. And it's like very, nationality based. Like what had happened was like the girls are like the American girls on the show were like in the bottom, even though like, they were the kind of, you know, you see this after, you know, I watched each episode is like an hour, so it's like after 4 or 5 hours you're like, oh, these are the girls that are like actually in the top, like they've improved, they're the best dancers, best singers. But then like the way it was rolled out, and like however the metrics are, like whoever's voting is like, they're, you know, they vote for their like own nationality, which like that's to be expected. So like this Filipino girl who like wasn't that good is like number four or whatever, and it's like, what, like who the fuck is that? And then, like I said, the black girl who got introduced like month eight, who doesn't even like do shit, she's like number one or two, and it's like, oh, so that causes, that's the only time like you see, maybe it's just editing, but like that's the time when you see like discord between the girls. Normally they're like so sweet and like so nice to each other, and they're so like supportive, and it's like, it's nice to see that.
Because I'm used to a bit of a more of a Pittsburgh flair, where it's like the Abby Lee dance company and the moms get involved and they make the kids like hate each other, kind of, and even though they really never do, they always stick together. They're like 10-year-old girls being like, mom, please stop. And like, no, you should not talk to this girl because she's like taking your spot. And like, please stop, you're making me cry. Maybe it's smart to remove the parents from this equation, although I find it honestly demonic, and like, oh god, it's just these adults are using these children to make so much money, and I don't know what their contracts are like. God, sound off in the comments. These record executives are so scary. Did I tell you, like, one guy, you know, he only speaks Korean, so he doesn't, like, he comes in, he, like, once a month, they do, like, a monthly review. He comes in, he's the BTS guy. He speaks Korean, there's a translator, they never show the translator. And so they're like, you know, okay, and then there's, like, a guy who just only watches, like, the digitals. Okay, so where there's that. So it's, like, it's kind of like a Wizard of Oz thing, where it's, like, these, like, literal girls, some of them are, like, literally 10 years old, some are 20, it's like, 10 to 20, they're, like, they're performing for, like, their, you know, there's, like, obviously mentors in the, like, dance and, like, vocal. The vocal coach, she's a fucking queen. I don't know her name. Shout out her. But she's, like, the only one that seems, like, really kind of emotionally connected to them. Like, she'll, like, cry with them sometimes. The other women are not. Again, it could be editing. It could be editing. Don't get me wrong. Could be editing. But they don't, I don't know who their allies are. And they're very brave and very courageous for, I mean, Jesus. Imagine, I mean, anyone going through this is crazy. They're like so young. Like the like median age is like 16 or 17. They're like, I don't go to school anymore. My life is just living in this flop house, dancing and singing. And it's great training, don't get me wrong. They're like getting a lot of invaluable, you know, training in the industry. But I don't know. Is it worth for what? So we can go to Zara and have like a really obnoxious song play that makes you like feel frenetic and want to like just grab something off the rack and buy it because you're so anxious and out of touch with your body because this music is sent from the depths of hell. It has absolutely no soul and no depth. It's all that for that. And they're investing like millions of dollars. They're going to make it back. They're going to make it back. Cat's Eye. Wait, I want to play. Wait, okay. I've never even heard a Cat's Eye song. Let me play one. Let me, hold on one second. Okay, so I'm going to play their song. It's their most streamed song. It's called Touch. It has 485 million streams. Never heard it before. Let's just do it. Touch, 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 touch. Thought about you way too much, 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 much. Over thinking us, 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 us. Cause you've been so out of touch. You could have my love, but you've been so out of touch. Monday, I was dreaming about the Tuesday, I was waiting at the phone. 2 days, wasn't even from ya. Yeah, what can I say? Oh, baby, I was getting bored. Thursday, I was losing interest. Okay, I think we get it. You know what? This just made me hit a realization. Let's just make AI pop stars.
this is just useless. This is garbage. This is nothing. It doesn't need to be a person behind this at all. Make them AI. Make the voices AI. Make these like poor little girls have to go through so much shit to produce that bullshit. Oh my God. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I can't believe. Wait, I want to hear like more. Let's see what else. There's a song called Gabriella. Let's see what that's about. It seems like I might have some flair to it. Okay, it's another kind of just absolute throwaway, toss away, whatever. These are just like, you know, songs for like 6-year-olds to listen to that they find on TikTok. Fuck. Like, you know what? Suddenly the evils of AI are not looking that bad. Because it's like, just don't make actual girls make this music. It's torture and clearly like destroys their lives. There's nothing there to remember to latch on to. There's nothing. That is the mark of the devil on it, quite frankly. I'm like actually upset. I'm upset. Can't tell because I'm like kind of grinning in a good mood, but holy fucking shit, that's so bad. But like what's like the other, okay, let's see, like BTS. Because I've never heard, I mean, I'm sure I've heard it, but I don't know even know what they fucking sound like. Let's see what the most popular BTS song sounds like. Okay, so it looks like this song called Dynamite with 2.139 billion streams. Let's give that a listen. Shoes on, get up in the morning, cup of milk, let's rock and roll. Kink out, kick the drum, rolling on like a rolling stone. Sing song when I'm walking home, jump up to the top of LeBron. Ding dong, call me on my phone, nice tea, and I'll get my ping pong. This is getting heavy, can't hear the bass, boom, I'm ready. Life is sweet as honey, yeah, this beach treated like money. All right, that's enough. This makes Bruno Mars sound like fucking Marvin Gaye. Holy shit. I mean, what a nightmare. What a nightmare Korean pop music is. Sorry to my Korean listeners. Love you guys, but like, I mean, holy shit, that's terrible. That just took like years off my life, hearing like 30 seconds of that. That is not music. That is something much more sinister. God almighty. And then when you watch this show, and I recommend Popstar Academy : Cat's Eye. Cause you do see, I mean, you see enough, I'm sure there's a lot more behind the scenes, but you see kind of like, and they're very objective, about their goals. They're very direct. So it's not like a secret what they're trying to do, except when they do trick the girls, be like, oh, by the way, by the end of this, like year tenure, you still have to like enter this like social media game or be like voting on you. You have to read all these comments about you. They'll never be okay. They will never be okay. I will say I have a few more like topics about this topic. In rehearsals, Ariana Grande is kind of the golden staple. Like they're all kind of trying to sound like Ariana Grande, vocally. And you know, Ariana Grande is not known as like a dancer, but they try to make the dance moves more important for that kind of genre, I guess.
Ariana doesn't need to like move that much or dance around because she's like a, you know, incredible vocalist. And I think she writes her music mostly. That's, you know, I don't think it's either here nor there. I think she actually does write her music. That's, I think, why. And if she doesn't, it seems like she does. But I think she does. I'm not even going to Google it. I don't care. But she seems like an individual artist. And part of this whole process is boot camp is like they try to, some artists, some of these girls are too strong of vocalists to blend in with each other. And like their vocal textures or like their technique, it's just not right for the group. So some of them are too good at singing and they're like, well, you're out. I think there's a girl named Celeste. She was out. Spoiler alert. But also you could probably watch the show and not even know any of their names. It's just disposable. It's like so, oh my God, it's so weird. And like, listen, growing up, like we had like NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. We had, those are boy bands, but girl groups, we had, you know, Destiny's Child. We had Escape. Who do we have? Who else was a girl group? In Vogue, TLC. I think girl groups were like a black thing in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s. Because like, they would like harmonize in different ways. They didn't all try to sound like the same kind of like, like ear drum bleeding kind of like a high pitch, like, oh god, it like infects. It was much more soulful and they all had different roles. You know, Destiny's Child, you know, Michelle, they had that, she had that deep beautiful voice. Ugh, I love Michelle. God, this is like really upsetting me. I didn't realize it would. It's been torture watching this show, but it's something I think that it's important for me to know. And the dancing, like, you know, they're all kind of like, they'd be very, I'm surprised they don't just like quit and they're like, well, I'll just be very, very popular on TikTok. Cause like, honestly, they can all dance better than like Charli D'Amelio. And maybe that bubble burst, I don't know, but they make Charli D'Amelio look like fucking Stephen Hawking. Like, I don't know. Also, randomly, some tea, which I think we've all heard now, Charli D'Amelio unfollowed her parents on Instagram. Ooh, I mean, more on that. I mean, later. I mean, I don't have any more information, but like, hopefully we get to know more about that. I wish she would just like tell us. I wish she would just tell us. Also, like, honestly, give Dixie, that bitch sister of hers, give her the keys to the street, too. Give Dixie the keys to the street. Oh, God. Okay, I sound so crazy. It's fine. There's another, there's a K-pop girl group. I think they're all Korean, but they visit the girls. They're called, like, Le Sserafim, but it's spelled, like, L-E-S-S-E-R-A-F-I-M, which sounds like a, like, beauty product. Sserafim? I'm like, is it Cetaphil? Let's actually pull up like what's, because they're like the kind of they're probably aging out of like what they're like replacing these girls, and I'm sure they all know it, but like what does the, I mean, I'm sure we know what it sounds like. Absolute fucking dog shit. Oh, they rehearse a song called Anti-Fragile. Oh, this is okay. I'm gonna play it for you guys. My God. Maybe cover your ears.
Shoes, 무슨 말이 더 필요해.
Okay, that's enough. Also, like, you really can't even understand, like, what they're switching between, like, Korean and English, but, like, the way they're speaking Korean is, like, in an English kind of, like, tone out. Like, that's not how Korean people speak. Like, that's so weird. Like, that's so strange. Do you find that strange? It's very bizarre. Anyways, again, it makes me feel like shit. I'm just, like, at Zara. Anytime I hear one of these songs, I'm like, I'm at Zara. And I'm like, okay, now I feel like I have to buy this piece of shit 90% polyester shirt that I don't want. Luckily, I'm smart enough I never buy it, but you always come close. You always come close to buying something at Zara. Oh my God, I'm like out of breath. I'm so upset. Well, I'm going to finish the show and report back. But just generally one thing I want to note is that, like, all the people working directly with these girls are women, which on one hand sounds like great, and all the men are making, like, the big decisions. But doesn't that remind you of something? Maybe a little place called, like, Little St. James? Yeah. I'm disgusted. Absolutely disgusted. Okay, so I'm going to take a quick break. Clearly, I need it. Then I'm going to answer, like, a ton of questions. So this is absolutely going to be an hour. I wasn't sure if I could do it, but be right back. Ding. Okay, and we're back. Had a cigarette. I think I calmed down a little bit, although I'm very concerned about the contracts these young girls have. You know, I just worry about them. Anyways, okay. We're going to do the questions. Question number one. Do you think you'd be a good stepfather? I'm just going to go right ahead and say no. You know, not to be always the person that's like, well, at my age, but now I'm seeing men at my age on, like, Hinge and Tinder being like, single father of two, hope that's okay. And I'm like, I don't think that is okay. Because, like, then I'm going to have to, like, I mean, if things go well, maybe if I fell in love, I could learn to, you know, but then I'm, like, a parent? I never saw a parent. Being a parent is not on my 2020 bingo card, quite frankly. It's maybe not out of the question, but it's definitely not something I would ever aspire to. I can't even, like, even, like, cat sitting is tough. I'm like, oh, God, like, get away. Like, you need to be, I have to change the litter box, like, once every 2 to 3 days. Like, oh, my God, that's, like, way too much. And if they didn't like me, they're going to like a fucking evil step gay guy. Are you kidding me? There's no way. There's just no way for me to be a stepfather. So, fortunately, I don't think I can date men with kids. Although, I will say the men that do have kids on the apps are always, like, incredibly handsome, kind of like Hallmark movie handsome. I'm like, well, maybe. But I don't think my flaws match up with their flaws. Meaning, like, I'm, like, a decrepit loser and they're, like, perfect and just have, like, beautiful children. Like, no, sorry, I can't do it. Can do it. Okay. Next question. Have you noticed an increase of young people using canes? C-A-N-E-S. Yes, I actually talked about it maybe last fall when I was in Rochester visiting a friend of the pod, Sean. We went to a goth flea market at the goth club called Vertex, which if you're in Rochester, you have to go. Great music, big space, cheap drinks. It's perfect. Shout out Vertex in Rochester. I did notice a lot of young people. I'm talking like early 20s, mid 20s, maybe early 30s. It's slightly overweight. I would say entirely white. You know, multicolored cotton candy hair, you know, the vibe. And they had canes and, of course, like an N95 on. And I'm like, I don't think you're sick with anything at all.
I don't even think you have like Lyme's disease. I don't think you're like sick at all. It was just like a trend I noticed. It was like probably like a dozen people. And, you know, there was like a lot of people-ish there, but like not really. Probably like 100 people, 150. Maybe even less. No, yeah, probably 150-ish. I did notice a lot of young people with canes, and I was like, okay, like what the fuck are we doing here? Like if I remember like being like a kid, like young, when I had like growing pains, and I had like a like just like a little like a cyst or like some like growth like underneath like my nipple or something. I was like, I have breast cancer, I'm gonna die. And I was like, oh my God, I have cancer, I'm gonna die. But I kind of like liked that idea of like me dying young. Like I kind of just like wanted like sympathy and attention because I wasn't getting any. I was like, oh my God, I'm sick. I think that like there are people. I think COVID like fucked a lot of people up. I think that when you're like good years, like your best years, which are your best years are from 18 to 22, by the way, those are your best years. If those are like deferred, you might find ways to like get some attention. I think that's what people did. And it's unfortunate, but it is, I'm very confident saying it is like a micro trend. So thanks for asking. Okay. Next question. Are you still listening to Kristen Cavallari's podcast? Okay, I randomly completely forgot it existed because I was like an avid listener for a few months, and then she had the show on Peacock, I think, and it was like a six episode mini series about her like podcast tour, and then I felt like I kind of got enough. You know, she's a little too self-congratulatory and not as revealing as she thinks she is. But I still love Kristen to death. She's like one of my favorite celebs of all time. I like her candor. I like how she speaks. Her laugh makes me feel so much joy. Like she just, we have the same taste in men. I'll say, shout out Kristen Cavallari. I know you're listening. Okay. Next question. More of a demand than a question, but I need your June Shine flavor rankings, please. Honestly, you know, I've talked about June Shine. I'm drinking one right now. It's only the grapefruit Paloma from here on out. I've kind of gotten rid of the other flavors, maybe just like the weather changing, but I just need like a crisp tartness because the other flavors are a little too, not muddy, but they're just like not as, I need crisp, you know, brightens up the whole thing. There's slight caffeine in it, I'm assuming, because it's like tea, but when it's like kind of watery or just not bright enough, it loses me. Next question. If you could be sponsored by a brand, what would it be? I don't know, my landlord. Be nice if my landlord sponsored the pod. Obviously I'd love to be sponsored by Painted by James Charles. I'd love to be sponsored by Jeffree Star Yak Meat. Sugar Bear Hair Care by Tati Westbrook. Don't know if that's still around. Let me know in the comments. And of course, like L.L. Bean, Ralph Lauren. Honestly, Loro Piana. Never owned anything from them, but I feel like I'd like some basics. I'd like a sweater. I like a few sweaters. I'm not like a trouser person, but like something to skip pants. Just give me some sweaters. Maybe like a cashmere, like long sleeve polo. Give me something. Loro Piana, come on, please. Someone out there, please, for the love of fucking God. Because I told you I went to the outlet, the Woodbury Commons, and I went in the store, and a woman kind of followed me around for a while. She like really thought I could like afford something. And I was like, yeah, I can't afford a sweater that's $3,800 marked down from like $5,600. Like it's not my shish. Okay, next question. I really like this question. This is from my facialist. do you fuck with sushi? It's never discussed. See, this is an example of a good question because like it's very astute and it caught me off guard. not to be a bitch, some of these questions, you know, they're like, okay, I kind of expect it. This one was like, oh, she really came that way. Okay, so yes, I do fuck with sushi. Actually, quite often, more than you could maybe ever imagine. I do get poke bowls, but also I get, I go to Kyoto Sushi down the street from me, get their lunch special. You know, I'll get like the classic kind of rolls, you know, the California, the whatever, the salmon, maybe like a crab, just like whatever, the basic shit. But only for lunch. I can only eat sushi at lunch in my own home while I'm watching television. Sushi also seems like a really nice thing to do for dinner, out like a nice, I've never been to a nice sushi place. Maybe, okay, circling back, what I need to do is go to Fushimi in Williamsburg and then go to Oberon. Okay, I'm just mentally taking a note of that. I don't think I've ever been to like a nice sushi place in my life. There was like a sushi restaurant also slash hibachi in my hometown when I was like a teen, opened up. And then I think me and my mom went there. I think she had sushi for the first time and she ate a ball of wasabi thinking it was guacamole. And she was almost throwing up and it was, it did cause a bit of a scene. I found it hilarious, of course, because that is, I didn't see her do it. I was like, wait, what'd you, we laugh. Okay. Next question. Please describe a perfect Greenpoint evening. Okay. So I really don't do shit at night or during the day. And Greenpoint is a little, I think it lends more day. There's, you know, some new sexy restaurants, of course, you know, in coastal Greenpoint. I've not really been to many of them. I've been to D&D, which is like a kind of a staple. It used to have a Michelin star. I think it lost it, but Vietnamese place, whatever. I would, you know, okay, my perfect Greenpoint evening is just like, honestly, okay, you know what? We'll start off. We're going to have mocktails at Soft Bar just to support from the pod, Carl Radke from Summer House. We're going to have a mocktail at Soft Bar. See if we see any Bravo Lebs. I don't think they're ever, I think after opening weekend, they popped in. They're like, we're never going back here. So either way, mocktails at Soft Bar. And then just like, you know what? Pop into Five Leaves, have a sexy, the hot people are at Five Leaves. They really are. And it's like, you know, it's like the Balthazar of Greenpoint. You can sit outside, you can sit inside. It's a little raucous. Again, hot people go there. And it's like just the food is like whatever. It's just like, you can get like, you know, steak frites, burger, salads, French onion soup. It's like the food. It's like, yeah, you like the food. You're going to like the food. It's not going to be like confusing at all. You're like, well, yeah, it's like, it's food. It's like a bistro or I don't even know what it is. It's a bistro. Farm to table. I think it was, you know, one of the first farm to table. Heath Ledger was an early investor before he died, REP. Although I'll be honest, like it doesn't really give farm to tables. It's kind of just giving like regular, but like the prices are fine. I always take my, I take my hose there. I've taken Maddie Finney. I've taken Chloe Cooper. I've taken Blake Weeks. Anyone that I've known, from the computer or maybe even met in person. It's like, I just like, you're never going to have like a bad time at Five Leaves. So I suggest there, maybe go to, not Callbox, Capri Social Club for a beer. Just get a little bit of like, like an historic kind of dive bar, Polish vibe. No one's going to be there. Kind of cash only. You get like a Stella, maybe like a vodka soda. You can get like a martini probably. They don't serve Jello shots anymore because Eric Adams ruled you can't serve like food at a bar and like Jello shot is food. Ugh. He's not getting my vote. Also he dropped out, but like I'm gonna write him in. And then, you know, maybe round things off at like my quiet cocktail bar, which I'm not gonna tell you the name. It's so easy to figure out.
circling back though, truly, like, just go to like Transmitter Park and watch the sunset. It's so beautiful. Great park. People kind of like congregate there. They'll, you know, bring a little blanket. It's sunset. There's like the pier for the ferry. It's not like too chaotic, but it's nice. We do things you know, a little, qu'est-ce que c'est, differently over here. Little, you can again always expect the absolute unexpected in Greenpoint, and people shit on Greenpoint. There, I see tweets all the time like, "Oh, wine bars in Greenpoint." I'm like, there's like one, there's like literally, to my knowledge, one wine bar in Greenpoint, and it opened up like 3 months ago, and it's like night. It's like fine. This like whole thing that Greenpoint is just like so completely like clapped and washed is just a fallacy. And it's people that are jealous. They are jealous pigs. They think it's like worse than Williamsburg, but it's not. It's nothing of the sort. It's nothing of the sort. Absolutely nothing of the sort. We have a lot more questions, so gotta keep moving. Oop, we're over an hour. We're over an hour. Ugh. Yeah. Yep, I knew I could do it. I knew I could do it. Next question. What's your ideal spaghetti dinner for one? Well, that would have to just be like spaghetti and red sauce. Maybe I go to like the Faggy Deli next to my apartment and I get like the special pasta and a special red sauce. You know what I mean? Or maybe, because like, guys, I need to like kind of potentially figure out a new living situation. I just think I've like, maybe it's time to move on. I don't know. I'd love to just cook and, you know, just, I mean, just make a meal. Just make a fucking meal. My kitchen is an outhouse. My kitchen is an outhouse. It's so abysmal. Anyways, I would like maybe, yeah, maybe I'd like make my own sauce. What if I made my own sauce? What if I got like tomatoes? What if I like literally made my own sauce? And then also, here we go. What if I made my own pasta? I've never done that in my life. You know, I have like Sicilian roots, 23%. Like I should like, you know, at least once, you know, pour the flour on the thing, crack the egg, fold it in, you know, squeeze or, you know, put it in the fucking roller, make my own pasta. I would like to do that. So I guess, you know what my ideal spaghetti dinner one is, I am finally living alone and I make everything from scratch. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But then like the tomatoes have to come, where are the tomatoes coming from? That's the real, it's like canned, stewed, can't, are they off the vine? Where are the tomatoes from? What time of year is it? I don't know. Maybe it's, when are tomatoes in season? Yeah, you know, you'll sound off in the comments, but, it'll be that time. And I think, you know, heirloom, I don't even know. What tomatoes do you use for the sauce? Child, I don't know. But it'll be then. And all, yeah, it would be, what if I even like grew the, oh, here we really go. I'm growing the tomatoes. Can you do cherry tomatoes? Those seem easy. I'm growing the tomatoes and then I'm just like getting the eggs from a farm and the flour. I mean, how, where, what is, honestly, what is flour? And where does flour come from? We'll see. I'll buy expensive flour if I can't find it from a, you know, local, fucking whatever. But yeah, thanks for asking. For those of you who are like maybe unsure why this question was asked, years and years ago, I created a playlist that was ongoing called Spaghetti Dinner for One when I lived in Bed-Stuy in 20... Was that 12 or 13? I didn't have any friends in the neighborhood, and I had a roommate. He was a very nice guy named Adam. Older, gay guy, has life together, had a job, didn't really drink. We were, like, so friendly. Small apartment, but, you know, I was very, 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 very broke, and I would often make spaghetti and
play a playlist that was like kind of, you know, Aaliyah, honestly, some D'Angelo was on there too. Like it was like R&B and then like, I would add like pop hits. There were some country songs too. And it kind of get me like motivated to like go out, to the bar one last shag where I would like DJ at sometimes. And I would just basically like take songs from that playlist, which I called Spaghetti Dinner for One on Spotify, which you can still find, I'm very sure. But I stopped updating it. I'd make like Dial Dan playlists. So I think I like Dial Dan playlists like 1 through 7 up in there. So you can find all that stuff. It's public. Good. I mean, hey, have at it. That's why I did it. But that's where this question came from. And I don't write down who asked them, but like, honestly, thank you for like, clearly you're paying attention, and that's nice. Okay. Next up, we have, this is going to be, this is from Cum Wizard 69420. My favorite living visual artist. We have Mariah Carey, and then we have Cum Wizard. The only art in my apartment is like my own because I had like test prints made, I hung them up. I have, big watercolor from Cum Wizard that is me being surrounded by Tom Schwartz's like triplet brothers, which is if my house is on fire, the one thing I would grab is that painting that he just sent to me as a gift. It's the most special thing in my life. And I have like 3 prints of his. Okay. Cum Wizard 69420. If you don't know, oh my God, buckle up. No one does it like him. Beautiful, just like expressive strokes of paint. The ideas are genius and they're funny. And they also might make you think too. There's just no one. There's no one like him. Okay. So his question is relatively simple, I'll be honest. Do you have any ghost stories? Yes, I do. I have told this one on the pod. Maybe it's been a while, but it's always good for a refresh. So I would say in 20, it was like COVID stuff was like loosening up. And then me and my 2 very good friends, Juan and Louis, rented a house in Germantown, New York. And it was like I didn't realize it was like so close to like the main house of the people that owned it, but it was like a big barn that was converted into like a 3-bedroom. Like the upstairs was like the bedrooms on the ground floor. The upstairs was like a huge, it looked like a fucking like party hall. There was like a piano, a huge TV, like a disco ball. We watched like, there was like a Pete Buttigieg, like Amazon documentary we all watched and like fell asleep to. Anyways, it was like November. It was very cold. I mean, it's like cold in like the morning and very cold at night. In the daytime, it's like fine. It's like sunny. Anyways, we go there. I think our friend Sam McInnes joins us for like a fire one night because he just moved to Connecticut and it's like an hour away. Anyways, so we go to Gaskins. Remember Gaskins, my favorite restaurant? A mile down the road. Okay. That's, I think, maybe how I discovered Gaskins. Or maybe I'd been there once before. Kind of neither here nor there. So anyways, first night, you know, we're hanging out. We have a good time. We, you know, have wine. We have a fire. We go to bed. Second night, we go to Gaskins again. We go to Gaskins. The first night, I was like, we have to go there. Second night, they're like, let's go to, like, Hudson and have dinner. I'm like, Hudson's like a 20-minute drive, and like I'm the one in the car, and I'm sorry, like I want to go back to Gaskins. And everyone's like, yeah, honestly, like Gaskins is like mad cool, like we'll just go there because I want to like drive drunk, although it is like seemingly easy. But like, pro tip, there are police waiting on like Route 9 outside of Hudson. Be very careful. Anyways, I've been having like, this is when I was like kind of either
just getting on Zoloft or about to, my anxiety was like off the fucking charts, like constantly. I was like, just, you know, I feel like a raw nerves constantly. So I was like, I have to drive us back to the city tomorrow. I'm going to have like 1 to 2 drinks. I'm not going to be hungover because I'll have like a panic attack if I have to like drive on like, you know, in like traffic in New York. Like it will just make me crumble. Saying that all now seems like really pathetic and weird, but I'm just being honest with you. That's where I was at the time. So I'm like, you know, pretty much, I mean, I'm sorry, 2 to 3 drinks for me is like zero. So we have like a little fire. We go to bed, wake up. I have to pee and I have a bathroom. There's like an ensuite bathroom in my bedroom. And I hear like these like dogs fighting, or there's, it sounds like a brutal, like a, it sounds like a, it sounds like a bear like fighting a dog, like a pack of dogs. It's like, it was grisly. It was terrifying. I was like, I've never heard, and I grew up in the, you know, in upstate New York. I've been in the woods. Like I have never heard anything like this whatsoever. And I will say I heard something similar when I was cat sitting a few months ago. I played on the pod. It was somewhat like that, but worse. It was like closer and just like, it didn't sound like foxes mating or like animals like scaring each other away. It sounded like they were like tossing each other and like in like a, like Looney Tunes kind of like, it was a whole thing. I was like, whoa, like I'm fucking freaked out. It's like, we got 4:30 in the morning. I have to pee. So I go to the bathroom, get back into bed, and the sounds have like quieted. Thank God. Cause that was fucking weird as I'm like, did I imagine that? Like, no, because like I said, sober as a judge, I was gonna be fresh as a daisy for the morning. Anyway, so I get back into bed. Generally it's cold. So I'm like laying on my side, my back is like facing away from the bathroom, and I mean the heat's on. It's like fine. It's not like a freezing, like, you know, the heat's on. It's fine. The room gets like very, very fucking cold, like very cold. And I'm like, ugh. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm freezing now. And then I feel like in like where the middle of my back is when I'm leaning my side, like I feel like a pressure, like it felt like someone's like putting their arm down, like their hand next to me, and is about to like whisper in my ear. And I'm like wide awake, and I'm like, oh, like early in the day, my friend Juan kept like using my bathroom, even though he had his own bathroom in the hallway. Mine was like nicer, so he like kept using mine. I'm like, just like, I'm like, use it, it's fine, but like, just don't take a shit in my bathroom. Like, it's fine, like, do whatever you need to do. He's like getting right in the bathroom. I was like, cool, whatever, I don't give a shit. And but like, and I didn't think it was weird, but I was like, I didn't think it. I just like literally thought like Juan like was like drunk and like wandered in my room, was like about to whisper something in my ear, like, hey, can I use your bathroom? I was about to be like annoyed. I'm like, fucking use the bathroom. I mean, it's 5 in the fucking morning, like use the bathroom. And then I felt that like my body like shifted. I was like, wait, And there was no whisper, there was no nothing. And I'm like, ooh. And then I felt like it got even colder. The room just got even like colder and colder. I'm like, oh my God. I just felt like terrified. Can't explain it. Really hard to explain. Never had a ghost experience in my life. Nothing like this. It just was like the, it just felt like it was just unexplainable. I'm trying my best. It was just like so cold, and it was cold outside. Probably like below freezing. It was probably like frosty, you know, like early November in upstate New York. And I'm like, oh my God, there's like, I felt a presence like behind me and next to my face. And I was like, okay, like Juan's not in the room with me. Like he's just not. And oh my God, the chill's back. I'm feeling the chill right now. Even talking about it, it's like triggering it. I'm telling you, the chill. And it's so hot in the booth right now. Like, the booth is, it's insulated. It's insulation. Okay. So I feel that. I'm like, it's hard to tell how many, like, seconds this is taking place. I would say, like, I feel the pressure, and then it's like waiting. Maybe like 15 to 20 seconds where I'm like finally able to be like, something very bizarre and unusual that I've never experienced is happening to me. Uh-oh. Like, uh-oh. And it's very cold now. And I'm like, oh, God. Then, because I can't, I also like my body, I can't really like, move. I feel like I can't move. I feel like I can't really move. I've never had sleep paralysis, anything like that. And then I feel like someone lay down in bed next to me. Like, the pressure from, like, the, imagine, like, you're, like, about to, like, you're leaning onto, like, the middle of the bed next to someone. I was in the middle of the bed. You're gonna, like, lean in the middle and, like, whisper in their ear. That, I felt like, I kind of leaned back. I was like, oh, there's something here. And then I felt like something climbed into bed to me, and then, like, my whole body kind of, like, shifted a little more backwards because, like, the weight was, like, distributed alongside of me. And I was like, I took my breath away, and I was like, and then I felt kind of like something pass like through me. And just for the, just to remind you, I'm like wide awake. I didn't just wake up. I'd woken up. I was like startled by the fucking animal shit outside. I took a piss. I was laying back down to bed, having a hard time falling asleep. I've been up for like, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. So it's like, not like, I wasn't like groggy and like, ooh, where am I? Like, I didn't just like wake up to this happening. I'd like been up. So then I feel like, I felt like a bone chill in my life before. I felt like a bone chill. This was on another fucking level, another stratosphere. I've never felt colder in my life to where it made me want to like shrivel up like a raisin, like everything, like every cell, every fiber just went like, and I was like, I thought I was being like frozen, like petrified in time. And then it like kind of like passed through me. And I was like, I'm like, oh my God, what was that? And I was like, I still felt like somebody was behind me. And it, and then, I felt like I had more control of my like body and like my like neck at least. And, like, I really couldn't move. I was like petrified. And then I slowly just kind of eventually like, I was like, oh my God, I'm like, I'm going to see something behind me, like for sure. Like, there's just like going to be like a ghost, or it's going to get skull. I'm like, something's behind me. And I felt like so brave. I was like these K-pop girls. I was like, I can do this. I can do anything. And eventually I kind of just like slowly, I feel like I could like hear my neck being like, and I kind of like turn my neck around, and there's nothing there. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. I'm like, I think it's over. I just feel like a sense of relief. I'm like, to get to that point, I'm telling you, it was like the craziest shit in the fucking world. So I like roll over, I see nothing, and I'm like, okay, I guess, you know, I think after an hour, I fell back asleep. But I was like fucking rattled. It was like crazy. So I wake up early the next day, and my friend Louis in the kitchen, we're kind of like, you know, I don't know, like making toast, or he's making coffee, and I'm like, I don't know. I can't even like speak. I'm just like, I really just was like, ugh. He's like, dude, are you like all right? And I'm like, honestly, no. Like, I felt some shit last night, and like, I don't even know. Like, I didn't want to tell you or anyone. I kind of just like was going to never tell anyone this ever. And I was like, also just like, please don't tell Juan, because like, I don't want like the like 2.5 hour drive back to the city to be plagued by like this specter or whatever. And he's like, oh, well, whatever. Don't worry about it. So I told him the whole thing. So we like, you know, check, you know, kind of check out like 11 a.m., whatever. We like, you know, get our little coffees, teas. There's like a pond on the property. We like walk around the pond in the pajamas. Actually very cute. Very idyllic. So anyways, get back to the city. Me and Juan meet up the next day at the Exley Gay Bar, Williamsburg. And after like a drink, I was like, girl, I have to like tell you some shit that happened at that Airbnb. Like, I still feel fucked up from it. And he's like, whoa, what do you mean? Because, like, I have some shit to tell you too. I'm like, what do you mean? I tell him the whole thing. He's like, whoa, okay. He's like, what, when did this happen? I was like, I would ballpark at like 4:30 to 5 a.m. He was like, shut the fuck up. He's like, shut the fuck up. I'm like, no, no. I'm like, no, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean? He's like, so I went, like woke up, like heard some shit outside. He went to the bathroom, not my bathroom in my room. He like went to the bathroom in the hallway. So I didn't hear him. I did not hear him doing this shit. He's like, so I went to the bathroom, came back to my room. He thought that he saw like, he thought his like backpack was like in a weird place, like next to his bed. He has like a black backpack and he's like, what's that doing there? And he went to like kick it out of the way. Just, it was like, I don't know, just in a random place. And it was not his backpack. It was just like a black mass that when he like kicked it, just like dissipated. And I'm like, whew. I was like, oh my God, bitch. I'm like, no, we were haunted. We were fucking haunted. We were haunted. That was a ghost story. It's all real. I'm telling you, it's all real. I've told this story so many times. I told it at the lake this summer, and as I was telling it, like, I got like full body goosebumps, and like my friends like clocked that too. They're like, whoa, like you're covered in goosebumps. I'm like, yeah, because it's like still real to me. I've like never had anything like that happen. It's an interesting story. And I wonder what happened. I mean, those properties upstate, I mean, I was like, it's in a barn. Like, maybe someone died in the barn. Who knows? Who knows? So much history in New England. Oh, God. They're, I mean, dark as fuck. Dark as fuck. Obviously, like, Native American shit. Them being brutalized. Them also kind of brutalizing each other. It's, like, a lot of shit going on. A lot of, like, bloodshed and terror. God almighty. We do have to keep it moving, though. There's, you know, a handful of questions left, and we're at hour 22. So, you know, I don't think people can, like, stand my voice for an hour's... I honestly think, like, 45 minutes, where I think you should really be maxing out. This length... Oh, boy. Moving on. Okay. Next question. For job interviews, which is a better strategy, being brutally honest or faking it? Both. Oscillate between both. You have to fake it a little bit, but also you got to seem like you want it genuinely and like you're made for it. Also, make them laugh and feel comfortable. Make them feel comfortable. Don't weird them out. Ask some questions to make it seem like you're their gift, like you're going to fit in there. But don't be like a total pretentious bitch, or maybe do. I don't really know. Every job I've had some interviews, but I just seem to like, I don't think I've ever had an interview and not gotten a job. And you may think like, oh, Dan, you've never had a job. I've had so many fucking jobs in New York. Don't even get me started. You don't even know. They're so boring. I would never even talk about them. I've had, not restaurant stuff. But I've had every kind of other thing. You have to be personable. You have to be personable. Your experience does matter to an extent. You know, you can be trained, but do they want to train you? So I think that, like, being brutally honest makes you sound like a fucking huge bitch and no one wants to work with you if you're being, like, ugh, catty. Kind of catty. Faking it, like, well, what do you want for yourself? You want to fit in somewhere. And not every job is forever. I get that. But I think that, like, have a pleasant disposition and be a little chummy and also seem like you're a little serious and hardworking and punctual and you don't fuck around. Don't give them any reason to think, like, you're going to be late or that you're, like, a deviant or anything like that. You can be, like, unique and special and, like, dress like a total loser or whatever. I mean, like, you can be, like, you know... You can have like a face piercing, I guess, but I would not recommend it anywhere. It you know, creates distrust, I find. But just, you gotta be cool. Just be cool, man. Don't be uncool. Okay, next question. What are your thoughts on eating fast food during pregnancy
Oh, great question. I think, you know, go for it. I think like once, I mean, I was like once a week. I mean, maybe more. I mean, I think it's fine. I think it's totally fine. You're not doing like the fucking like super size me diet, I think it's fine. Also, I know the person who asked this, she's very healthy, very mindful of what she's intaking. I think, oh my God, girl, what, if you have a craving, oh, it's going to make your spirit lift. It's make you feel better spiritually, emotionally, and you need it. Maybe, I mean, I was thinking like, well, you could have like McDonald's. I'm like, oh, the filet of fish. But I think like fish has like mercury in it. I don't think you can have fish. But like, I mean like a quarter pounder, maybe like a hamburger, maybe like a Happy Meal, maybe get a Happy Meal. It's fine. I think it's fucking fine. I mean, my God, it's like when people stopped eating fast food and they stopped like drinking and smoking, it's like, that's when autism like started. So like, keep that in mind. You know what I mean? So like, don't vaccinate your child and eat fast food, period. Also, like, I had an idea the other day. Like, I want someone to fund me doing the Super Size Me thing, but with Wendy's. And I just feel like truly like my levels like wouldn't change at all. I think I'd be fine. Not that I'm like great before, but I think that like after, wouldn't be that different. Wendy's though, not McDonald's. Wendy's is gourmet. We love Wendy's. Okay. Oh God almighty. There's so many more. Oh my God. There's so many more questions. Guys, stop asking them. Next up. How much is a studio apartment in a good part of New York? Well, I'm kind of looking right now. In a good part, well, I mean, I'm going to tell you like Manhattan, Soho, you're looking at 3,200 minimum, Tribeca, $4,000. Greenpoint, what I'm seeing on like homes.com is like, I'm going to visit some local, like, real estate, Polish, you know, agencies, but on, you know, the websites, it's like 2,600. Mostly one bedrooms. Like, studios don't really exist in Greenpoint unless they're in like a new build like condo tower. So, oh God, I had a friend a few years ago that lived in like Brooklyn Heights at like a $2,000 studio, which is like a square. I would love that apartment in like an old building on like a, oh God, it was gorgeous. At the time, you know, this was like years ago, I was like, I don't think it's 2,000 anymore. It's probably like three. It's probably like $2,850. This makes, oh my God, a mosquito just flew past my fucking ear. Oh my God, I thought the windows have been closed for like 3 days. I've been bug spray. I killed five mosquitoes yesterday. How are they still in my house? How are they still in my house? Oh my God, this is crazy. Did the mic pick that up? Because it flew right in front of me. Okay. Okay. Yeah, just do your own research. I mean, just fucking look it up. Go under 14th Street and see. It's a lot. Makes me want to fucking die. Okay. Next question. What are your thoughts on body lotion? Do you have a body care routine? No, Miss Mama, I don't. But, you know, since I accidentally bought a Mrs. Myers, lavender hand lotion, like tub instead of hand soap, I have sometimes lotioned myself up from head to toe. It's happened twice. Only when I think I'm like going out and like maybe there's like a slight chance of like casual sex from a stranger that I don't know. Like, it's unexpected. I'm going out, you know. I will say it does feel very good to like cover your body in lotion. Because I'm like, well, my hands might be dry. My face might be dry. But certainly like my extremities, my arms and legs, they can't be dry. Of course they're dry. They're dry. It's very dry. It's almost kind of like your vagina. They're dry. So when I do lotion up, I'm like, oh, I notice it. But then I smell like lavender, and it's like, I'm like a little sweet pea little baby. I feel like a little Ann Getty's like baby lavender. But no, it does feel good on my heels. The heels, my feet. It feels good to lotion those up because I'm like, those are absolutely dry. And I got the like little shaver for the shower. I'm like, I don't think it does anything. It's fine. No one cares. Well, people do care because someone asked. Okay, next question. We have like two more. Thank God. Next question. What shoes should a 41-year-old man wear to dinner? Okay. So I think a loafer. Sneaker. Ugh, don't try to dress up a sneaker. Like, honestly, just never try to dress up a sneaker. Also, like, loafers can be so casual. They don't have to be like a glossy, shiny, leather, gross thing. Also, you know what? Not to make it about me. The brown leather moccasins I got from L.L. Bean, which cost $135, you can dress those up too. They just look, they're comfortable. They're rugged. They're also, they can go from like high to low. Something that's not a sneaker, but like a, you don't want to wear like a little kind of, little Oxford. Oh wait, actually, no, hold on. Get a black Doc Martin Oxford, but don't get the yellow laces. You can get the yellow laces if you want, but like at 41, I'm like, I think you want to leave the yellow laces behind you. I've worn those shoes to weddings. No one's ever commented on them. They're not like, what? They're like, they look, you can find some, you know, they don't look like Doc Martens. They just look like shoe. They're giving shoe. If you just want to give shoe, okay, so there you go. Black Doc Martin Oxford, no yellow laces, or a moccasin, not a driving, you can do like a driving shoe, but they don't give, I mean, I don't think they're very flattering on men. There's no height, and you kind of have to like expose your ankle, and like, I can't do that. And I don't think many men really can, or should. So yeah, I hope that helps. We have to move on to our last question of the evening. Thank fucking God. Okay. Final question. Have you been to a Russian spa? I just went to the one Leah McSweeney brought the Roni girls to. The Russian bath. No, I've never been. I'm terrified. I don't really know the protocol. I can't go alone. Maybe I'll go with a friend. Maybe I'd like to go with a friend. I'd have to have a, I need like a male chaperone. I just don't know where to go, how to be, how to dress, what to dress as, what to bring. Is it going to smell weird? I feel like it's going to smell fucking weird and like bad and uncomfortable. I also like, what if I like stare at someone too long? What if I stare at a man too long? I'm like, am I going to be weird? Am I going to be weird? Also the smell, I feel like it might smell. No one talks about this. This is how I think it might smell really bad. Because no one, I've known so many people that go to those like Russian Turkish baths in the East Village. No one has ever mentioned like a bad smell. And I don't think it's because it doesn't smell. I think it's probably because it fucking smells really bad. But sound off in the comments. Let me know if I'm wrong. Again, I need a male chaperone. Maybe I'll go, but you have to like bring, how do you pay? Like, what do you do? What do you even like go there for? Just sit in a hot room? I mean, like then what? Then I like am like delirious in the East Village and have to like walk to the L train, like go home and walk a mile from the L train to my apartment. That doesn't sound relaxing to me. That does not sound relaxing to me. But I'm glad it's there. It's for some people. I just don't think it's for me. I'm glad you had a nice time. Did you have a nice time? I don't know. Sound off in the comments. Oh, Lord. Guys, we did it. This is an hour and a half. This is a feature-length film. Covered everything. Yeah. Wow. If you made it this far, thank you so much. Appreciate you listening. And I'll leave you with one thing. And it's me on my hands and knees. I'm begging you. Tell a friend about the podcast. It's very niche. It's very boutique. You know, Word of mouth is what I like. So I've said this, you know, here and there over the years. If you like it even a little bit, just like bring it up in conversation. Tell your, you know, text your girlfriend. Say like, hey, diva, chica, mommy. What podcasts are you listening to? Bring it up in like a cool way. And they'll be like, I listen to, I fucking love, Las Calderitas. And like, okay, you know what you might like? Something a little more chill. It's called Dial Down Podcast. Let them, you know, experience on their own. Don't, you know, you don't have to like, you have to listen. You can tell them that. Maybe ease into it, you know, just, but please, I'm telling you, start to finish, it's like 10 to 15 seconds of your own time of spreading the word. I really appreciate that. I'd appreciate that. I'll give you a prompt if you need one. I think I kind of just did, but like, just kind of, you know, feel it out with your trusted best friends. It's time to wind things out with a song. I'm going to play Lady by D'Angelo. Again, RAP. Thank you all so much for listening and subscribing. I appreciate it so much. And here we go. Lady by D'Angelo. Sensual and loving that song. R.A.P. D'Angelo. Good night, listeners. Talk to you soon. Bye.